Hello to listeners both new and long-term. Quick note, Elise and I have finally launched our Patreon podcast. It's called We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering. You can find it on the Patreon website and find an easy link through our website, wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com. To those who have already subscribed, our deepest thanks, and to those who haven't yet, come check us out. For only $4 a month, we'll be breaking down a new romantic comedy set in New York City in 3 to 4 episodes, with the same humor and detail we've brought to over 100 episodes of this podcast. Every episode of When Harry Met Sally is already available, and up next, you've got mail. We're really excited to share this new series with you. All right, here's the show. Well, hello, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
How's it going today?
Things are going well. Before we start, I have just really one butthole done, and that was a listener reaching out telling me that she is the mother of a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old boy, and she does the breath test because she said boys are gross.
I don't know. I'm not saying it's not a thing. I just, at some point, I don't know.
No, it's just a thing, too, where, like,
breath.
I mean, I remember, okay, but you were also a really well, like, you were a good kid, and you were, like, a gay kid, and it is kind of known that, like, the good gay kids are usually following all the rules. And you're Mike Jensen. You follow all the rules.
I do.
You're the only person I know who looks at a package of candy and eats the appropriate serving size.
However, this is so random, but I have, like, the spray, like, my little, like, bathroom deodorizing the room
spray.
Oh,
yeah, poop spray.
And it specifically says, do not shake before using, and I shake it every time I use it. I can't not shake it. Like, I don't know how you don't shake that before you use it. I also shake my milk. It doesn't make any sense.
No, none at all. I think I
so
shake...
those are my weirdness.
I actually shake probably... I don't shake milk because I don't drink milk, but I... do shake things that, yeah, you're right, probably don't need to be shaken, like
shooken.
My butt.
That always needs to be shaken.
Thank you.
Quick note, there is construction happening in my apartment. I say construction as though it's construction. It's not really, but there are things happening. So there may be background noises. Everything's fine. No one is breaking in. It's all, things are getting fixed. Let's just put it that way.
Yes, in New York City, when things get fixed, it's like the cable man. You know, you don't know when people are going to come and fix things. They'll say
it's
between...
very much the story of this day.
Yeah, they'll say 1 p.m., which just means at some point in the next year, someone may be at your apartment around 1 p.m.
That's kind of how it's going, but it's going, and that's the important thing. Shall we dive in here?
Yeah.
So this week, we're here to talk about The Real Deal. This is written by Michael Patrick King and Susan Fales Hill, and directed by Michael Patrick King, so the same team that brought us the first episode.
And we open with Carrie and Franklin recording ads for the podcast.
So it's a little bit of a fooled you, because we're starting with a voiceover.
Right, and also we're starting with Carrie and Franklin, and not that they broke up in the last episode, but, you know, we weren't sure.
And it's an ad for mental health, Zoom Shrink, and I think this is sort of a commentary on how, you know, podcasts, like... radio of olden days, you know, you have these little advertisements that you get dropped in so often.
Yeah, the promo code was a little off. The promo code was Zoom Shrink at Sex in the City. Usually a promo code would be like Zoom in the City 10, you know, you wouldn't, it sounded more like an email address.
Right, or the other way around, that it would be like promo code Sex in the City at Zoom Shrink.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that, but I was listening to the, and just like that, Writer's Room podcast, and Michael Patrick King made a comment that a lot of the podcasters were saying that people can't call into a podcast, which I think we did. Maybe mention, or maybe we didn't, but it did give me hope in thinking maybe Michael Patrick King has listened to an episode. So if you've listened, let us know. We're big fans, clearly.
He probably hasn't, but it's a nice thought. And then we get to all my listeners with the vagina and a vagina wellness product.
And Carrie does not want to do a commercial about vaginal suppositories. She's gone through her whole life trying to not say the word suppository.
Or refer to the term down there, and it's promo code VAG in the city, and she just can't. Yeah, and this is a recurring theme, and that Carrie Bradshaw doesn't like talking about sex.
Well, there's two things I'm going to start with here. Number one, the word suppository has kind of followed me throughout my life. My mom has a great sense of humor, but, you know, she's very funny. And when I was in college, she packed me all of my medical supplies. And one of the things she packed, I don't even know what it was really, but she put a huge label on the front of it that said, Lisi's suppositories, stick one up rectum as needed.
Okay.
And just had that for me to unpack when I got to college with my new roommate. And she's probably laughing right now because she doesn't remember doing that. But she did. And then the second is, my first thought, of course, was, oh boy, here goes Carrie again, not being able to talk about a vagina. But then I was wondering, is it the vagina or is it the bad copywriting? Because she kind of makes it seem that no one would talk this way.
And then we're going to get to Seema at the salon.
Mm-hmm. In that leopard number.
Yeah, and I think that you talked about Juan Jose, played by Ricardo Rojas, last week. But I hadn't watched this episode yet, so I didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah, so yeah, basically Juan Jose, played by Ricardo Rojas, he is an actual hairdresser, celebrity hairstylist. I don't think he's done any acting other than this, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I didn't see anything in his credits. Yeah. This was the first thing that I saw.
Yeah. So that's, like I said, in the first episode of the season, that's a very Sex and the City thing to do, is to kind of bring in a real New York person to play the type of person that they are in the real world.
And he asks about her man, and she just sort of says, like, he's not my man anymore, and kind of brings up the red flags, which leads him to say that she always finds red flags.
Yeah, that she sits in his chair for 10 years with her red flags and standards, and no wonder she is still alone.
And it's a little bit much. He's a little loud with it.
You know, with Seema, I think what hits her is the no wonder you're still alone. I think it's the alone. I think you could sit there and she could have sat there with him and argued about her red flags and her standards, and he could have kind of come for her a little bit. But the minute someone brings up the alone thing, I think that's the thing where it's, you've crossed the line.
And she's done, and she's out, and she pays him to blow her, not shrink her.
Yikes.
And then we have Miranda. I wrote assisting Che.
I wrote Miranda and Che, I think I wanted to write, are having some sexy time, but instead I wrote Miranda and Che are having some Segway time. So just sure. Imagine them riding a Segway right here in this moment.
And the writer, BD, calls, and the network hates the new pages, and can you be here in an hour? And it's sort of that thing of like Che having a conversation on the phone while Miranda continues to Segway her.
Yeah, or as Miranda says she's doing some of her best work. So Miranda continues to work whilst Che is on the phone. And you know, I did read some of Che's script. I kind of paused when we saw it on the nightstand. And all I could get out of it, because it's a little blurry, is it's about Twitter roasting Elon Musk. And if Che's abuela calls, they were with Roger last night.
All right. So sounds like a fascinating episode.
Yeah. Sounds like a Rent crossover. Yeah. And the script is turning into You're a Good Queer Charlie Brown, which I'd like to see that.
I will say that I do feel like the character of BD, who seemed sort of, you know, somewhat argumentative but affable in this, is like full on, you're not doing me a favor, it's your fucking job. Which feels a little intense.
Yeah, I think they're trying to build up the intensity of the workplace for Che because of last week with the stomach hanging over the jeans. I think they're just really trying to play that up. And this is also the first time we hear that Tony Danza will be playing Che's Mexican father.
And you know what's so funny is that last week when you mentioned the Tiny Dancer, Tony Danza thing, it didn't even occur in my mind that we were actually going to have Tony Danza on the show.
Yeah, that's why I said it. And I didn't realize you hadn't seen episode two.
And we have Carrie wrapping up an episode and Ally Stroker's back.
Yeah, Chloe is mad that Carrie will not do the vagina commercial.
I'm pregnant, I have to pee, and I only have a minute. Why won't you talk about your vagina?
Oh, for so many reasons. And to be clear, it's not my vagina, it's everyone's vagina. And hello.
Hello, diva.
I am not a diva. I did the therapy. I did the eyelashes. I held up that vegan purse on Instagram. My other purses still won't speak to me.
Hey, what's up, Chloe?
Oh, just trying to save this flaming Viking ship from sinking. Would you tell your star it is not the podcast heyday of 2021? The shit is drying up.
I feel like everyone's creating a podcast every day.
I feel like that's true. I just today heard the advertisement for Kelly Ripa's new podcast, and I'm like, girl, don't you already have a job?
Yeah, I think every celebrity now is just having a podcast.
And it did feel like that was happening, particularly in 2021, because of the pandemic and because mm-hmm. no one could work, no one could do anything else, so everyone had a podcast. And I don't think most of those lasted.
No. I know, it's whenever someone asks like about the things I do and I say I have a podcast, I always want to be like, and we started it in like 2017. Like, just a caveat. Right.
We've been doing it for a while now.
Yeah.
And apparently we had a vegan purse on Instagram.
Yes. And all of Carrie's other purses will no longer talk to her or look at her. I don't think they're doing either.
I don't think so either. And then we get to LTW getting off the elevator with Gabrielle, and there's a little bit of cake drama. I don't know, that she says if they drop the cake, they'll just leave and never come back.
Right. And then we learn that it's because Herbert's mother, Eunice, is coming to visit.
Yeah. She'll be there in 20 minutes, and Gabby can't greet her with that hair.
Yes. Nana doesn't like Gabby's natural hair.
So they double up on it, and Gabby asks about the grown-up hair that she's not allowed to wear yet.
And we learn that Nana Eunice thinks that this is very important because as a little girl growing up in North Carolina, appearance was everything. And they go into this a little bit more on Michael Patrick King's Writer Room podcast.
Yeah.
Talking about the significance of this moment, and Susan Failhill talking about, because Herbert and LTW are like moving forward, but in a way Eunice will always think that it looks like moving backward. And the moment with the shot of Gabby running to the front door with that hair.
Yes.
That her perfectly like coiffed hair in front of the piece of art of segregation. You look like you're about to say something.
No, I have thoughts and I don't know exactly when to share them. So I'm gonna hold until we get further into this storyline to share some of my thoughts about this situation. But it's interesting. And, you know, I have issues with the evil mother-in-law plot in general. Not that she's evil, but I do have feelings about, like, well, not everyone's mother-in-law is awful, but I think it's interesting as we reveal this character more and what her motivations are. I think she's a very fascinating character.
And I think that it's a very fascinating... Well, I just think it's very smart writing in bringing in these issues, these discussions with this woman. Like, I think that it's a really smart way to kind of bring the different generations together in those moments. And I love Herbert and LTW doing Gabby's hair together.
Yes. And yeah, so Eunice arrives with her Louis Vuitton and there's a lot of panic going on and she looks perfect. But her comment that LTW just returned from her matinee performance in The Lion King.
And I love how strong LTW is in these moments.
I love her response to it. It's so good. She just, it was a great performance.
Yeah. She just knows that nothing she's ever going to say is going to win. So she might as well just roll along with it. And I also love the moment when they open the door and you hear at the same time, Mother, Nana, Eunice. It was just a really cool directorial moment.
And then Lisa gets stuck with the bag.
Mm-hmm. And then we get to Lily running into the kitchen while Harry and Charlotte, by the way, Harry commented on my Instagram post, we are best friends now. Not Harry, but
I was
Evan
say,
Handler.
I think it was Harry, but yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. I made a fun, if you're not following us on Instagram, you're missing out. I made a fun little picture of Harry finally getting his photo with Rihanna. And
Rihanna.
He commented, ha, ha, ha. Love it. Thanks, Evan. So yeah, Harry and Charlotte are cooking some sort of tomato pasta-like thing. And Lily comes running in saying that she needs an electric keyboard. Rock does not want her to have it, but Lily's very quick to remind Rock that she was so supportive of Rock.
Yeah, as they were finding themselves.
Oh, yes.
As they were finding themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because, Rock wants them to say no and then is frustrated that they have to support Lily because Lily supported them.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry says to record on your phone like everyone else.
And Lily says, no, she needs the Nord and a better audio interface. And Nord is an electric piano and they cost anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're on your own, kid.
Yep. She's not going to get it. And Charlotte lets her know you play for ABT classes, which... that's difficult. You know, a lot of ballet, for those of you who are not professional dancers like myself, a lot of ballet studios have classical pianists that come in, and that's the American Ballet Theater. So that's who Lily is playing for.
Yeah, that was kind of a bit of a revelation there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to Andre on the phone with Naya, where she admits that she was a little crazy, but she wants him to cop to the sexy feelings that were happening in the hotel room.
Yeah, and he says nothing happened yet, and that sometimes he wants it to, but most times he wants them to work out. and his plan is a surrogate.
And that's, yeah.
Wrong thing to say, Andre. Yeah, have you listened to anything Naya has said to you?
And that's the end of that scene. We'll get back to that storyline. But now we have Miranda's at an AA meeting.
Miranda's at an AA meeting, which, of course, I kind of went back and forth with this in the first season, because I remember as a sober person, I was excited to see this show take on the issues and have someone as strong and capable as Miranda still fall to addiction, kind of showing that, like, addiction does not care how smart you are and how strong you seem. And then it was discussed, well, maybe she isn't an addict, and I just kind of wanted her to tell my story, and it was just the pandemic. And then we saw her doing pot a little bit, as Chase says.
Yeah, I was curious as to whether this would be a storyline, and I guess they sort of struggled with it in the writer's room as well, of how far they wanted to take this, and that they decided it was important to show this part of the journey.
Yeah, and I think the reason they didn't so much in season one is they said that there was just so much going on in season one that we didn't really have the time to elaborate on it, but it was important. And especially in 2023, whenever 12-step meetings are in TV, they're done pretty well, because I think back in the day, maybe it wouldn't have been done as well because no one in the writer's room would have felt like they could say, oh, I go to these too. You know, I'm in that club. But I think nowadays it's a pretty, you know, no one's afraid to be like, yeah, I've done this before, I'll write about it. And yeah, so Miranda's there. I guess she's not doing pot anymore. But then I was thinking, maybe she is. It's not my job to judge Miranda's sobriety. But more on that later. And I did find it interesting that she stood up when she introduces herself. That was something that I haven't seen. However, there are many different, you know, I'm sure things in LA are different than things in New York City. However, as someone who is in the business, I will say that hospitality table that Miranda finds herself at looks very well set up. So kudos to the hospitality chairperson of that meeting.
Yeah, and Miranda said that she doesn't have a lot to fill her days with. And then afterwards, she's approached by Allie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this actress pronounces her name Keely or Kylie.
Okay.
Keely McQuayle, we'll go with, could be Kylie McQuayle. And, you know, she was in Orange is the New Black. And just, like, she was the voice of Rose McGowan in the film She Said, a film that I very much enjoyed that nobody saw. But, yeah, she is an on-phone character in that film, and she mentions Miranda's virgin arms.
And if you ever do another podcast, I think you should call it Films I Thoroughly Enjoyed That Nobody Saw, because you have a lot of those.
There's so many. That would be a really lengthy podcast for sure. And yeah, Miranda's, you know, she says that she does rent. I don't know. I guess it's a funny joke about not having tattoos.
Yeah, is she going to allow Allie to just start drawing on her?
I was a little confused by the comment, but, you know, whatever. It's a conversation. And Allie mentions that she cleans up the beach as one of her many activist activities.
So she invites Miranda. And
yeah, she'll pick Miranda up, give her something to do during the day.
Mm-hmm. And then we cut to Seema and Carrie having drinks, and they are at Caillou on 324 Lafayette Street. It is according to Eater, we're getting a lot of this information from Eater.com. They do these really great articles about where everyone eats on Sex and the City. According to Eater, it is a flashy Miami import known for its Pan-Asian barbecue.
Lovely. It's a cool looking space. And Carrie asks about the breakup, and Seema talks about Juan Jose.
Right. And she says, well, I guess that can tell you how it's going, because she's a little more upset about Juan Jose than Zed. And Carrie and Seema start talking about Seema looking for red flags to get out. And Carrie says she also looks for reasons out if she's not 100%.
Yeah, they've apparently left a lot of host stands because Seema won't wait longer than 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting, too. And they talked about this on the podcast as well. The idea that we're exploring a new friend that, like, you know, Carrie and Miranda would never have this conversation because they've known each other for years and years. But this is a thing of like, well, I don't know what your thing is. Let's talk about it. And she gets a lot of red flags. And Carrie says that she finds the red flags as well.
Yeah, I think if this was Carrie and Miranda, Miranda would be like, do I do that? And Carrie's like, do you do that, Miranda? You've been doing that for, you know,
right.
It would be like 15 years.
And we get the Bethany Frankel joke.
When I was single, I almost rented a house in the Hamptons 6 times, but I always found a reason not to.
Was that reason always Bethany Frankel?
Haha.
Yeah, which Bethany Frankel was not too happy with. Well, I don't know if she wasn't too happy or not too happy, but she did post a little video after of her just listening to it with some side eye. And Carrie compares it to her vaginal wellness commercial because she's not comfortable with it, because Seema starts talking about how she doesn't know the reasoning behind Zed asking his ex-wife to pay for lunch, but she just wasn't comfortable with it.
Yeah, it's an uncomfortable feeling. And what are you going to do about that?
Mm-hmm. And so then in this moment, I thought, okay, maybe it isn't just the copy. Maybe it's also the vagina. That was really important to me, Mike. During this episode, I just was trying to figure out, Carrie, is it the vagina or is it the copy? What's bothering you?
And we get to Lily writing and Rock and Charlotte enter, and Charlotte assumes that Harry bought the keyboard, which is not smart parenting, and she's going to kill him. And I love Rock's comment.
Not smart parenting. I'm going to kill your father.
Well, that's not smart parenting either, because now you're in prison and we're alone.
And I like that Lily is singing with Richard Burton as her audience.
Yeah.
He's just on the couch or on the bed behind her.
Uh-huh.
Listening.
And we find out that Lily bought the keyboard by selling some of her clothes, and she sold them through the Real Deal, not the Real Real.
Nope, not the Real Real, because it's apparently better than the Real Real.
And Charlotte goes to the closet in a panic, and I did notice the cupcake purse in the closet.
Just staring at you.
Yep. With secrets inside.
And Charlotte screams because she realizes so many of Lily's clothes are gone, and Richard Burton goes, that's
that was very effective for our podcast.
Yes. Mike and I do really great facial podcast work. Richard Burton is surprised. He looks like this gif that Mike really loves of this owl with big eyes that just turns and looks.
It's a really good one. And we have Charlotte at lunch with Anthony and LTW.
Yes, and they are at Le Coucou on 138 Lafayette Street.
There's a lot of Lafayette going on here.
Well, you know, they like to keep the location
central. I gotcha. Yeah. And they deal in cash like drug dealers. And I love Anthony. So how many drug deals have you ever seen go down?
Yeah, I like the way Charlotte says it. She's like, they're fast, sneaky, and pay in cash. Like, I love that Charlotte just makes everything, I don't know, so Charlotte. And Lily's perfect pink Chanel dress is out there online. Like, it's just such a terrible place for that dress to be.
Yeah, and it's on sale, and we get that this is Lagerfeld's last collection, and I will say, Googling Lagerfeld's last collection, there are articles, I went through a whole separate rabbit hole about this. It was a big deal. 2019, I want to say it was.
Wow. Are you going to start wearing Lagerfeld?
Probably not, but okay. it was an interesting story. I was like, wow, there's a lot going on here with Lagerfeld, and Charlotte wants to sue because they took advantage of a minor, and I don't know, I really like LTW, but sometimes she says, like, when she's like, this iced tea is not cutting it. I'm like, are you returning the iced tea? You're just asking for, you can just ask for a drink. You don't have to make a joke about it.
You know what? That really affected me, Mike, because
yes.
She says her iced tea isn't cutting it, and she wants a vodka tonic and one for Charlotte with a straw. And that's fine. I actually took issue with the server who removed the iced tea. I don't think she was saying it was bad. I think she was just saying, you know, she'd also like another drink. You don't have to take that one away.
Interesting.
You think he wanted to switch it? She wanted to switch it out?
I think that she wanted to. I don't know if she wanted to switch it out or not, but I think using the term, this isn't cutting it, makes it sound like she doesn't want it.
Oh, I thought it was just like, this isn't going to do the trick. I'm going to need more. Also, I've been working a lot of lunch shifts lately, and the amount of iced tea that New York City business folk drink is insane.
You know, it's a weird thing because when I go out to lunch, I want to get an iced tea, and I'm not even a big iced tea person, but I feel like I need I have the need to consume something, and I'm not a day drinker. So I'm like, I'll have an iced tea, I guess.
Big iced tea is infiltrating our brains.
Yeah. And why the day drinking, you ask? And Anthony never asks. And it's because Eunice is coming to the apartment with her sorority sisters.
For tea.
And she's in the comments that cut like a knife chapter.
Which we know that. We've gotten that. And Anthony, we find out that Anthony has returned the pinky ring Charlotte gave him for his 40th.
Well, we sort of consistently have like, and I understand that it's where Charlotte is right now, but it's like Charlotte having a conversation and then they'll be like, hey, this is a thing happening in my life. And then immediately Charlotte is like, and back to the pink Chanel dress. And then one of them will be like, hey, here's another thing that happened. And then Charlotte's like, I just can't believe about that dress. I'm like, I get it. I get that's where your head's at. But other people are having conversations as well.
And that carries on through other parts of this episode, too. So I don't think it was intentional.
Sure. And Charlotte has a weird story about a dress strap fall. I'm like, that now even now you're it's weird. Now you're making it weird, Charlotte.
I thought that was weird too. And she's like, and the way that it would just gently fall off Lily's arm.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. Now you're being weird.
This is really niche, much like a lot of musical theater content I do. But I really wanted someone to go into Lily's eyes from Secret Garden and go into the real and be like, a real deal and be like, you have her dress. You have my Lily Chanel dress. The dress she wore at her recital.
Good. I don't know the show well enough, but I applaud your effort.
Thank you. And the four people out there that do will think that was great.
And then Anthony asks if an obviously hot guy is hot enough to work at his bakery. And I'm like, maybe we could have chosen a guy who, like, this guy's clearly like a model.
Do you think he was just doing it to show off that he gets
found
to
a
see
guy
hot
on
guys?
Instagram? Yeah. No, I didn't really get it, but it's all right. It's a segue. And we get to Herbert exiting with Gabby and a friend. And listen, the amount of time that I spent trying to find this outdoor location, and when I finally found it, I was so annoyed that it had taken me as long as it is. Because it's set up as though they're on the corner of 76th and Park. And I did a virtual stroll up Park, because it's clearly Park Avenue. I knew that for sure. No other street in New York looks like Park Avenue with those trees in the middle of the lanes. And I went all the way from 76th Street to the end, the top of Manhattan, and was losing my mind, unable to find it. It's 66th. It's just down 10 blocks. And it's like so obvious that it's 66th when you get there. So this was filmed on the corner of 66th and Park. That bright red building in the background is the Armory, which how did I not recognize that was the Armory on 66th Street? Anyways, that's all. It took me literal days to find this location, and it was such an easy find once I found it.
Well, you're not. You've never been to the Park Avenue Armory. We had this discussion once.
It is true. I've not been there before, yes. So yeah, so the address says 735, and it's really 635 Park Avenue. So they've just changed sixes to sevens. They're going to dance class.
They're going to ballroom dance class.
Yeah, her friend wishes it was hip-hop class, and I'm like, don't pander.
I think it was just giving Claire a line, and it was just kind of setting the scene that the girls don't want to go to these ballroom dance classes, probably. Because it's a bit much.
And then Herbert can't get a taxi. Mm-hmm. And he says to meet him on the corner, and then the driver won't unlock the door. Mm-hmm. And as he's sort of pounding on the taxi's hood, Eunice comes around the corner with her friends, and there's a lot of...
Is that your Herbert?
It's a lot. It's a lot going on. And she assures her friends that that's not her son.
Yeah, and it's also worth being noted that Gabby mentions, oh, this never happens with Claire's dad.
Yes,
to kind of set
sure.
the scene that this is about Herbert being black. And it was said in the writer's room as well that Susan,
yes,
her husband wears a suit every day of his life and has had difficulty, you know, getting caps.
Correct. And Eunice also ignores Gabby, which I kind of wish she'd given a little like, hey girl, like, you know, you can acknowledge that your granddaughter's there, but
right.
It's all right. It's all right. We're moving on. They're going to walk up Third Avenue instead. And then we cut to Franklin on Final Draft.
Which I thought was unnecessary. He says that he bought Final Draft so that he could write this commercial for Carrie. But Final Draft isn't cheap. And I don't think he needed to buy a whole script writing software to write a 30-second podcast.
Yeah, you can just use notes. You can. Mm-hmm. There's so many other ways to write things down.
Write on paper.
I will say that Carrie has a number of like the least sexiest things ever said. And I just wrote everything he says is sexy.
Mike is team Franklin.
Oh, my Lord. And apparently Chloe circled back and is sort of insisting that they read this copy. And I know that we have many moments in this episode where Carrie's kind of seeing Franklin. I think this is mm-hmm. one of them where she's like, oh, you wear glasses. And it's, I think, once again, acknowledging that we're only like a month into this relationship, if that, and that she's sort of like noticing things about him. And I had hoped it was leading us towards them having a stronger relationship. That's not where we're going with this, but it's sort of what I was hoping was happening.
And Franklin reads some of his written copy to Carrie, and Carrie's like, we're trying to talk like my vagina, not Dorothy Parker's vagina. And then Franklin suggests calling...
What if you call it a vajayjay?
Yeah. Carrie does not want to call it a vajayjay.
Because that would be like the 90s? I mean, that was a 90s thing, was it? I thought it was like an aughts era, was it?
Or maybe aughts, like late 90s, early aughts. But that was a big thing, like a vajayjay. Ooh, I don't like it. It just reminds me of that story you tell about your college email address.
Which was my vajay.
Yeah, that was his M.I. It wasn't intentionally my Vijay. No. It was your first two letters of your first, middle, and last name.
Correct. M-I-V-E-J-E. My Vijay. Yeah.
My Vijay.
My production company is going to be My Vijay Productions. Not no. anymore.
No, don't do that. And yeah, and then to keep it current, Franklin suggests, Mike?
It'll take you from dry to, I just wrote, WAP.
WAP. Yes, and he says it's Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, and Carrie says, well, I'm Carrie B, and I don't speak like that, so it's Megan the End.
Yeah, no, that didn't necessarily work, Carrie, but good effort on the pun, I suppose.
Yeah.
And now we have Anthony browsing for hot guys, and he has to find someone because Kevin has Hep C.
Yeah, and this is the other moment where Charlotte is off in her own world while... Well, Anthony's also in his own world, and Sweet Harry is just sitting there trying to enjoy dinner.
Trying to have a nice dinner, and why don't you just go buy it back? And she wants the dress back, and she wants acknowledgement that what they did is wrong.
And then here is a big thing in the Sex and the City universe. Harry says, I'm still waiting for any acknowledgement from my mother, and she's been dead 10 years, which is not true.
Right.
Because... when, and I'm not the only person that discovered this, you can just Google this, like every Sex and the City blogger writer has talked about this, that in 2004, one of the reasons why Charlotte converts to Judaism is because it was the wish of Harry's dead mother that he would marry a Jewish woman.
It's a weird mistake to make for a line that doesn't make any sense.
I just find it interesting that no one else caught it.
Right. That no one in the room was like,
you know,
yeah.
To be honest, I've done shows and I've written things, and even on this podcast, like, I don't remember. I think when you're doing the thing, you don't always remember what you say. You kind of like erase it from memory, you know?
Yeah. Still, no one caught that. Interesting. And, you know, what if someone stole the sourdough recipe, which I also don't think is the same thing. It's a strange analogy to make here. And Rock comes in to say that Lily is ready to perform.
Well, don't steal that sourdough recipe because you'll get cut from tongue to taint.
Yeah, that's a long way.
Yikes.
And we have a very angsty song about the power of privilege. And listen, it is almost bizarre. It feels as though, while forgetting that Harry's mother died more than 10 years ago, they somehow have gone back in time and, like, incepted the fact that her name is Lily just so we can make a Lily Eilish joke. Because that's so perfect. Like that
was a great joke.
That joke was created before Billie Eilish was a thing somehow.
Yeah.
It's pretty, that's some lucky wordplay there.
Yeah. And the song is, I love, the song's just like soft and emo, like Billie Eilish. Do we say emo?
Yes.
Is that still what we would refer to that as?
Sure. Let's do it.
And what's interesting is you just see everyone kind of having this face that's not showing much emotion until Lily says, God damn. And Charlotte just kind of like tightens up a bit.
And then segues into, you know, a song about her having to be the good girl. And mm-hmm. I think that you see Charlotte seeing her daughter and seeing that her daughter is changing.
Well, I was wondering if Charlotte was actually still touched by the song, or is she still mad about the dress? I couldn't tell what was true.
Yeah, for me, it was her seeing her daughter. For me, it was her getting this idea in her head of like, oh, her Lily is not the Lily that she once was. And they also talked about this in the writer's room, that they didn't want Lily to be like the perfect adopted Asian daughter that like mm-hmm. did everything right, that they wanted her to have agency, and they didn't want her just to be a carbon copy of Charlotte, which is who she had kind of been up until now.
Correct.
So Herbert's in bed and there's a knock at the door, which he assumes is Gabby
because he's having mommy and daddy time.
Which she's not really. They're just, you know, they're getting ready for bed. It's fine. And it's Eunice, and it's actually mother time. And she just says, you know, what was that display? And LTW emerges to ask what she missed. And it's just sort of Eunice saying that they never surrender their dignity.
They win by winning.
And, you know, they also talked about the comment of, like, didn't the Emancipation Proclamation free us from head wraps? And I will say, I didn't know about the Tignon Law of 1786. Once again, interesting rabbit hole to go down. But I didn't know that was a thing, that there was a law in Louisiana that women of color had to wear a head wrap to identify themselves as not being white, which is wild.
And then in the 1970s, it was... brought back again as a protest statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we learn, and they talk about this also. I really would suggest like listening to the Writer's Room podcast.
Yeah. Because I also like the point being made that someone in this moment calls Eunice perhaps like a self-hating black person, and that I think Michael Patrick King says, or she's just funny, you know? And I do think that there's that fine line between like, how seriously do we take this? Like, is this her negatively reacting, or is it her just kind of being funny or making like an off the cuff joke? I think it's interesting. Once again, a very fascinating character to me.
Yeah. And I think, like I said earlier, what I like about the use of Eunice, like the character, is Eunice is bringing in these discussions, these important conversations, in a way that feels natural, but it's also like making you think in different ways, right? Like you're researching things, you're learning things, and it's because Eunice has somehow been like, think about that.
And we're going to continue with when, you know, him saying that he did it because Gabby was there, that he wanted her to see that he was angry about it. And Lisa's point of when we go off, they win. And she sort of ends it with a joke about Eunice blaming her if Herbert were to get into trouble. Mm-hmm. But here's what I also feel like I need to say is that my reaction to this situation was, I want you to bang on that taxi. I want you to show that you're angry. I want you to to throw a bit of a fit because this is unfair. And then I have to remind myself that I'm a white guy. Mm-hmm. And that the odds of me banging on a taxi and being okay are wildly greater than a person of color doing the same action. And it is a thing that I had to then like take stock of my own thoughts about this and my own place of privilege there. And it really was a conversation I had with myself last night on a walk, thinking like, how often do I look at things? Because we all look at things from our own perspective. Mm-hmm. And that this was a moment that we had to look at it from someone else's perspective, which I thought was really, really fascinating and really helpful.
Which I think is what LTW was saying in that moment. She's like, the ending would be that the ending would be much different for Herbert. And she kind of twists it to be like, the worst ending is that I'm blamed by your mother.
Correct.
You know, she's like making light of it. But, you know, it, and I think once again, like, that's what's really important about this Eunice character is that you had that thought on your walk home.
Che is finishing up the comedy concert.
Yes. And Che introduces a very important person, which I thought was going to be Miranda, but it's not. It's
Tony Danza.
It's Tony Danza. And Miranda is just in every single server's way.
Yeah, she's in the way. This is a weird scene. I don't know why Che would bring Tony Danza up on stage. It feels like a strange moment. Mm-hmm. But we see that now it's 12:08 back in New York, and Franklin and Carrie are still trying to write, but Miranda calls, and what are you up to? And we have a comment of, are your books not selling? And I'm like, well, we all know that she's a multimillionaire, right? Like, she doesn't really need to sell books anymore.
Right, and they're just really struggling over this Vag copy. They should hire me. That's all I'm saying.
And how do you phrase it when you're having trouble down there?
I don't know what happened. I kissed a guy in an elevator, and now I'm
part of a filthy Tracy Hepburn writing team.
Yeah, I didn't think you could do just sex.
Well, now it's sex with homework.
Oh, Carrie, I have to hang up. Tony Danza's coming right at me.
I get it. You're fancy.
You know, I think that this is kind of going back to what Michael Patrick King said and what we talked about last week about how Carrie's at the point where she can just do that because she's already had the love of her life. Just something quick to note about Carrie is she's brushing her teeth, and her toothbrush and toothpaste are in an old Diptyque candle holder, the Baize candle holder. I can't remember if that's what it was before or if it was just a nod to her having those candles. That's all.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. And Tony is pleased to meet the significant person, and we should have dinner, and we have a you're the boss little joke in there. And
Tony struggles over Miranda's pronouns. It's like she.
Right.
It is she, right?
Isn't it? Yeah. And he's two for two, and I don't know exactly what that means, but it's a very funny moment for Che.
Yes.
And then I wrote back in the writer's room, but what I meant was we're back at Carrie and Franklin's as they're still trying to make this work, and Chloe's making it seem like this is a real deal breaker.
Yeah, I was just like, this vagina thing is a real make or break podcast moment.
Yeah, I could poke a lot of holes in this. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. But, you know, in this moment, Carrie decides that her vagina has to write its own monologue.
And I wrote one. Michael Patrick King says that if you zoom in, you can see Carrie's copy, and you can't. I tried zooming in. It's all blurry.
Yeah, I couldn't read it either. He says that it's funny, but I'll just take him at his word.
Well, I wrote one. Okay. And as I sat struggling to write copy, I couldn't help but wonder what was more dried up, my creative brain or my vagina?
It's very good.
Thank you.
But mention the pH balance.
And my pH balance.
And Carrie kind of keeps looking over at a sleeping Franklin. And mm-hmm. Once again, this was me hoping. I really wanted these two to work. Okay. And we're back at the salon.
We're back at Juan Jose's, and Seema comes in looking like me after every time I blow dry my hair. But yeah. Apparently for Seema, it is awful, and it came from Easy Blow on 68th Street. And Juan immediately kicks out the other person in his chair because Seema is his number one.
Yeah, she brought him tequila, and she says that you made your point, I'm back with Zed. And I kind of want to be like, I don't think that his point was you have to get back with him, but just like be aware of your behavior. But so we learn in this that she's back with Zed somehow. And he just sort of says that he blows hot and cold. He gives a lot of advice and no one ever listens to it. And it did make me think, oh, right, this is why I hate going to the hairdresser.
I've never had someone be that mean to me.
Every time I go, they're mean. Every time I've got, that's why I don't get my hair cut. Like,
what do they say to you, Mike? Rude.
They just will be like, oh, what product? Oh, you can tell that you did this yourself. And like, just rude. I'm like, I'm paying you to do my hair. Maybe don't be a dick. Yeah, well, every time.
You need to find nicer people.
Well, now I go to a barber and it's very, very fast and very, perhaps less personal, but I like it that way.
Yeah.
And we're at the beach and I was confused because they're cleaning the beach, but does cleaning a beach mean removing the seaweed as well? Isn't seaweed a natural part of the ocean?
I was confused too, but I also have never been to California, so I don't know.
Okay.
Any beach cleaners?
Yeah, well, you know, my best friend Vanya spent the day cleaning the beach with her family a few weeks ago. I'll have to ask her if they cleaned up the seaweed.
Yeah, Vanya, tell us what's happening. Because, yeah, it looks like Miranda's just cleaning up a lot of seaweed. And then Naya calls Miranda because she is deandrifying her apartment.
Yeah, he hasn't heard me at all. And she's done and she's not sorry. And she's, quote unquote, carefully packing his things.
Not carefully.
No. And she's like selling his like six guitars. I'm like, that's.
Yeah, everything. And, okay. And they talk about how this was a lot of work for the props department. Because as the script was being written, they're like, okay, now I have to find this like mixed media art piece that.
Yeah, now I got to find this lamp that he would have bought at an airport.
Right.
Yeah.
This reminded me of that song, I Could Get Used to You from Tick, Tick, Boom, where they're talking about getting rid of all the things in their apartment with like, no more. Da, 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 da. That's
another
all.
One I'm not terribly familiar with.
Yeah, you're gonna have to people are gonna stop listening if I keep talking about musical theater. And then Allie comes up and lets Miranda know that her kid had a microaggression with a squishmallow.
Yeah, I looked it up. I was like, what's a skull? Oh, that's a squishmallow. Okay.
I know what a squishmallow is. It's like these pillows that look like little animals. At least it's not the stomach flu, so that's cleared up.
100% I thought that was going to be the stomach flu. Like, I thought that's where this was going.
But Miranda's okay. She'll get an Uber. And I love this fellow beach cleaner who just keeps giving her shady looks. The whole time.
Yeah, Miranda has to get off the phone because she's getting the stink eye from Steve Hahn, that's his name in real life. And I did look up, he does have a credit of a short film called Lesbian Miserables. And I'm curious, I'd kind of like to see it. It's only 3 minutes long, so we might have to try to find that.
Yeah, we are now, I need to see that. I need to see that, followed by You're a Good Queer Charlie Brown. And yes. Maybe Mike and I just need to make You're a Good Queer Charlie Brown.
Maybe. And he says they're basically just cleaning up a corpse. Cool.
Yeah, he's a happy person. There's another continuity moment.
Okay.
So as Miranda is on the phone, she has gloves. And then she's picking something up and she has gloves. And then she's putting her phone away and she doesn't have gloves, but then she has gloves again. There's just some
interesting
in continuous glove work. There.
Gotcha. Yeah, Carrie and Charlotte have arrived at the real deal, and I wrote, fun Carrie is going to throw a trash can through the window. I like this Carrie.
Yeah.
We talked about this last week, the Carrie that's like funny and light and like makes, like, I really enjoy SJP's performance in this. I like this character of Carrie in this moment.
Is it Carrie or is it the bird purse?
Well, we're going to get to that as well, because first of all, there's some really great stuff in here, and I love Charlotte's comment of like, no, there isn't.
Yeah.
And then SJP repeating, no, there isn't.
That's a very kid thing to do. Like, when you get your kid exactly what they want, but they're in a bad mood, they're like, I hate this. It's like, no, you don't. Yes, I do.
Yeah. And Charlotte talks to the cashier who doesn't know anything. And Carrie finds boots by Sonia Reichiel. I think I looked it up.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it
yeah,
is.
And a similar boot goes for about $320 on eBay right now. So it's not as expensive as I assumed, but...
Yeah, I kind of wondered as well, and I was surprised that it wasn't more expensive than it is. And then things on the beach are wrapping up, and she can't find her phone, and she needs to call Uber, and she's informed by Steve Hahn that Uber is a Ponzi scheme.
And she's wearing cowboy boots to clean the beach, which doesn't seem like it would be really comfortable. She's searching through all the sea stuff That's what I wrote. I wasn't sure if it was seaweed, sea stuff. To find her phone, she does find a crab and screams, which is something I would do.
Sure, but I don't... Okay, she sells it. It's fine. We have Hotel California playing the whole time, and then she walks off to find some friendly surfers. I will say this main surfer dude is Nick Flagg, and he was in Lizzo's About Damn Time video. That's my favorite credit that he has.
Love that. Yeah.
I'm not really into the surfer dude type, but he is very aesthetically pleasing slash very a very charming way about him.
Mm-hmm. They're very nice or high. Yes. Or both.
Or both. And the other kid that keeps shaking his head violently.
Yes.
And Carrie gets the call and hopes that it's not the Democrats again.
Which is also very Carrie.
Yeah. And you don't know Che's phone number.
Well, there's also a moment before this where Charlotte is berating the Real Deal worker, saying like, you know, and she is a minor. And she says, this isn't a bar. We're not carding people. But that's not true because I've sold clothes at Buffalo Exchange and they ask you for your ID. So.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, we find out that Miranda does not know Che's number, which would make sense that she would know Carrie's number.
You know, I will say that I then felt the need to, like, do I know my best friend's number? And I'd have to look it up again. I don't know any numbers. Mm. I know my childhood home number. I know my childhood best friend's number. I know my grandparents' number. I don't think there are currently any phone numbers that I know off the top of my head.
Yeah, I know my parents. I know my brother's cell phone number because it used to be mine. And that might be it. So I should learn
I'd be
some.
In trouble. And Che is wondering, you know, you're not home yet. And it would take an hour and a half to get there. And you can't cancel the dinner that's in an hour because it's Tony Danza. And I will say that now we have a reference to Neptune's Net, which is a real restaurant, and it's on County Line Beach in Malibu. So I at least in the scheme of the television program, that would have been County Line Beach that they were cleaning up. And I will say that I like Miranda's like, please stop offering me pot.
Yeah, something I noticed about this, and I don't know if this was an intentional directorial moment, but the surfers are doing pot and Che is also, I'm saying doing pot because that's what Che says. And Che yes. is also doing pot while on the phone with Miranda. So I'm wondering if this was a moment of like, Miranda is surrounded by the substance and she's just trying to get out.
Yeah, I don't know. There is a lot of it going on. And then we have a whole lot of stairs, which is accurate. Those are stairs that would lead up to this restaurant. And then I just wrote Carrie again has a bird on her head.
I love this so much. I love, like, this might be my favorite moment of this series thus far. It's just Carrie in the corner with that bird on her head.
And Eden found the dress. It's in a warehouse and it's on hold.
And Charlotte is turning into a Karen.
I wrote, Charlotte is starting to Karen. Yeah. And I love Carrie pulling her away and saying, dead as she is, I don't think Eden can take much more interrogation. And you're this close to being a meme.
Yeah. And Charlotte just feels like Lily is rejecting everything. And Carrie suggests maybe she's just outgrowing it.
And that's healthy.
Yeah.
And I guess this line was controversial in the writer's room of Carrie saying that she's fighting to save Sex and the City and she's not even sure that it fits her either.
And they don't talk about it. They talk about it being controversial and how Michael Patrick King really wanted it in there because of that. And do you think that the controversy was because they've had so much critique about trying to hold on to this idea of Sex and the City through And Just Like That and people being like, it's not working?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was an interesting comment though.
Yeah.
And Charlotte doesn't need the dress, but Carrie wants the boot.
Yeah. And Miranda gets picked up by Lyle in a purple pickup.
I wrote purple blue because I couldn't decide.
Bloople.
Bloople. And it's Oliver Hudson. I've been waiting for Oliver Hudson to come along. I didn't know this. But he was in the final season of Dawson's Creek. He was on a long-running TV show called The Rules of Engagement. And then he was on Nashville for a bit, which is a show that I watched.
In true Elise fashion, I wrote, I hope Mike writes down this actor's name because I forgot to research it.
Perfect. It's Oliver Hudson, and I think he's so dreamy.
Well, Miranda smells like oysters.
Yes, and he used to shuck oysters in high school, so it's, you know, nostalgic. And now he works at the Malibu Soho House as a mixologist, which is what they now call bartenders once the margarita's over $22.
Yes, which is very true.
But most importantly,
Miranda finds out that Che and Lyle were married. Technically, still are.
Technically, still married. And we cut to Che and Tony out at Italian. And, you know, he basically is saying, like, he can't be Mexican. And I'm kind of amazed that it took this long for them to figure that out.
Right.
That it's not going to fly. That Che's father is Mexican, but instead of Mexican-Irish, it would be Mexican-Italian.
So change her mother to be Mexican, basically changing Che's story again.
Yes.
Tony says, you know, he's come too far. He doesn't want to be canceled now. The Danza Lions will be upset.
And Tony wants her to succeed. because what Che is doing is important. But yes, we are still playing with this idea that this the show that Che thought they were doing is becoming not the show they expected to be doing. And I'm curious to see where it goes. And I'm sure this is a very, very common thing. So Seema's out with Zed. And, you know, what got into you last week? And she just sort of says that she got into her last week. And this is interesting because he has a proposition for her and it's quickly an opportunity to invest in a new private club. And they would each be putting in $100,000. And she wonders if this club is not called Red Flag.
And they are at Nello on 696 Madison Avenue. It's an Italian restaurant known more for its celebrity clientele than the food. And a few years ago, they got in trouble for banning a woman from dining alone at the bar, claiming it was quote unquote cracking down on hookers.
Ah, interesting.
I remember that story coming out.
I remember that story as well. Totally
remember
that story.
Yeah, so once again, this is all from the Eater article, citing my sources.
And now Seema says that the five techs were a bit much, that three would have been more appropriate, and she's investing in herself, and she decides this means that she was right.
Does that feel very Samantha to you? When Seema
said,
it does
feel very Samantha.
Yeah, when Seema was like, and I'm investing in myself, I was like, yes, Samantha Jones. Like, that felt very Samantha.
And it also felt very fast for Zed to try to, you know, con her. Like, you just got back together, and, like, your first part of the conversation is going to be invest this money with me?
Well, we also don't necessarily know how much, like, conning he's done in the earlier part of their four-week relationship.
Sure.
You know, like, how many seeds he's planted. And I could be wrong, but didn't she kind of break things off with him because he was living with his ex-wife? She didn't really tell him so much, I don't think, about the con stuff. So I don't even know if he knew that. He might just be thinking he's proceeding as planned. Also, Seema has a really cool Judith Lieber Bitcoin purse.
Gotcha. And then we get Miranda by the fire, and Che is back, and you're not going to believe what happened to me at dinner. And, you know, it's just sort of Miranda saying, like, I didn't know your number. I didn't know you were married, and I don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And join the club.
Yeah, and Che's kind of, I wrote Che's playing this off, but not in a dick way at first, because you can tell that to Che, it isn't a big deal. They're like, yeah, we were both lazy. We never got around to getting a divorce. And back to me. I also feel this way. I get that it may not be a huge deal, the marriage thing, but I think that maybe they should acknowledge it. But I'm assuming they will in the next episode.
And Che makes a joke about bringing up the whole Italian thing, and Miranda saying, I'm serious. And Che saying, please don't be. Don't let this become a crisis. And yeah, I thought it was a fine line here too, between Che not taking it seriously in a bad way and kind of not taking it seriously in a good way.
Right.
And I honestly couldn't decide.
Yeah, because Miranda looks happy. And I think that's kind of what's important.
And then we get Franklin and Carrie getting off the elevator, and there's a lot of box activity, and everyone is fired because she didn't do the ad fast enough. This is very confusing to me, and I'm gonna just go ahead and let it go, but I was like, wait, so if she'd done the ad yesterday, everyone wouldn't have been fired?
I think, honestly, I actually really like Chloe's character, because now I'm seeing more of who Chloe is, and I think she's just this really dramatic, over the top, like, office worker. And I think that the network was probably planning to shut down anyway. And Chloe was stressed about it. She knew that was going to happen. And when Carrie said no to this commercial, in her mind, she's thinking, this is the reason why we can't do these things. This is why we can't have nice things. This is why everything's about to shut down anyway. And I think in that moment, Chloe was just able to point a finger and say, I don't think one vagina commercial could tank a whole network. No. And I like that all that Franklin and Carrie have packed up from their offices are mugs. Everyone else has these boxes.
They're just taking a mug with them. And, you know, she brings up that he had said that they could sell the podcast. And do you want to try? And Franklin is, you know, I'm not sure this should go any further. Which quickly leads us to, you've made it clear that this is a Thursday thing. And he needs to get out before he's messed up Friday through Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And she thanks him for the sex in the city.
And just like that, she freed up her entire week.
Yeah.
And it is said on the podcast that they wanted to get Franklin out. Not that they don't like him as an actor, but they wanted Carrie to be single. So now we have Carrie single. We have Miranda unmarried, I guess. I don't know if anything's official, but we have Naya. we have Seema, and we have Anthony.
Yeah, we got a lot of single ladies all of a sudden again. And not that Miranda's single, but I think they were a little spoilery on the podcast.
They were.
A few things that we won't mention here because I don't want to spoil it for other people. But they said a few things on the podcast that I was like, oh, I'm not sure if you're supposed to tell me that or not. But
well, I mean, okay. We can be honest because they said it after the second episode. They said that we have 5 single ladies, but then Michael Patrick King quickly went on to say, or unmarried people.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that too. I was like, wait, are you telling me someone else is going to be single?
Yeah, so I'm curious to see how this goes forward.
Yeah, and Michael Patrick King did also mention that the last scene, you see Carrie literally walking out into a sea of men, and one of the men does turn and check her out, which is like a throwback, kind of, I guess, to...
Yeah, the way that he said that, though, I'm like, was he not directed to look back? Like, did he just randomly look back at her?
No, I think he meant, like, that's a moment. We did that moment.
Yeah.
So with this episode, I guess I couldn't help but wonder what Chloe knew about the podcast thing. Like, was it just going down anyway and she was mad and she just wanted to take things out on Carrie? I think that's it. I think it's a little girl-on-girl anger there.
And I guess for me, this is sort of what hit me, and I know that they addressed it a bit in the finale of last season, but I couldn't help but wonder if Miranda's still a damn lawyer or not. Like...
Oh, yeah!
Like, remember how she was going back to school so she could, like, help out with things on the board? Like, it's just... I had that moment in this episode where I'm like, Miranda, you have a job, right? I don't know. It was a weird moment that I had watching her in this episode.
Get a job, Miranda. I also feel like I want to know what happened at the Met Ball Gala, but...
Yeah. Did anyone get to go up the stairs? No, they were all normal people.
Yeah, normal people.
And then I really quickly, I was going to bring this up last time, and then, of course, this episode's even longer than last episode, but I did want to bring up, you know, we don't have opening credits anymore, but we do have the main closing credits, and I will say that there are 5 new additions to the main closing credits, and that is Nicole Ari Parker, Karen Pittman, Kathy Ang, Alexis Swinton, and Chris Jackson have all graduated from being guest stars to being regulars on the show. So that's all. Congratulations to them.
Kudos.
Yeah, they're getting the big bucks now. And that's it. I'm curious to watch the next episode. I really enjoyed this episode.
Me too.
I had a really fun time watching it. I think there's a lot of like fun moments. So I'm really enjoying this season as it goes along. And without getting too preachy, you know, we are maybe going to be answering some questions for a publication about what we think about this season and about certain people's reaction. And, you know, for those that talk about it being cringy, I'm not saying it's not, but I do wonder how much of that is just because we're looking at them and they're older and we're okay with people in their 20s and 30s that when they do things that are cringy, it's funny. And that when it's someone older, we don't like it. I don't know. It's a thought that occurred to me also watching this episode.
Well, yeah. And it's a question I've always think about where, as someone who considers themselves like a late bloomer in many ways, I look at this show and it gives me permission to not have to have things done by a certain time. And I'm not saying, you know, we've talked about having, you know, a little bit of conflict around Miranda because, you know, you are a mother. You do have a husband maybe still. Are you a lawyer? Right. Like, yes, we still have responsibilities, sure. But also, I don't know. I think this is showing us, like, you have permission. You don't have to stop doing things or stop growing. There's not an age where you have to know everything by. And there's not an age where it's like, okay, this is who you said you were. And after this day, the show is set and there's no going back, you know?
Yeah. So I'm enjoying. Excited to go forward.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
You can subscribe to our new Patreon-only podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering, right now! For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back next week with Chapter 3.
I don't know. I was going to go dark and be like, inside the cupcake purse is the vial of poison that Lily used on Big before she went on stage for her piano recital.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a little too much. We did skip over Anthony saying that the pinky ring made him feel like a mob boss, that he was in the Sopranos.
Yeah, I sort of skipped that on purpose.
Okay, I thought that might be why. I was like, I wanted to hear if Mike had any comments about it, but I just think...
What is this joke? Okay, that's fine.
Not a fan.
Oh, you're not there anymore.
Mike, I wonder if you can hear me.
At least can you hear me? At least are you out there in the night?
To find her phone, she does find a cab.
She finds a cab right there on the beach.
And that's the end of this episode.